Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to say to those who were hearing. He cares about us all in every way there is. That's just the God we serve. And remember, His return is imminent. Be ready that you be not left behind. It's just that close, folks. The Lord is about to return, and I don't mind warning you because He told me to. And I've been doing that since 2017. And, you know, people need to know that Jesus is coming. A lot of times people say, well, he hadn't come yet. You know, and this has been going on for a while. But now it's time for Him to come. It's time for Him to show up, because we've had plenty of warning, and He died when He was supposed to die, and He's going to return. And He said to tell His people that His return is imminent. This is something that Peter wrote about, 2 Peter chapter 3. He said, that not the time is close, and you know, he said, but in verse 10, Peter, 2 Peter 3, verse 10. Well, let's go back to 9. It says, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with the great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And according that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all the epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You know, people pick out what they want and pick and throw away what they don't. And they end up in a messed up situation. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, be aware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. You know, He told us a lot right there in that chapter. A lot of it is things that I want to cover today. You know, the Lord loves us, and He cares about us in every way. There's nothing that the Lord won't do for His people. I want people to know Him, because my dad was a pastor, of course. I've been to church all my life, and I was a grown man before I found out God would talk to you. Now, I was talking to my dad one day about the Lord talking to you. And my dad said, the Lord talked to me all the time. He said, that's how I get my messages. But I didn't know that. He never told me that. I was grown. You know, I was much older when he told me that. He didn't talk much, but he was a godly man. But see, remember something, in that culture, in those days, if you say the Lord told you something, people will look at you sideways as if you're crazy or something. And but see, those who draw near to the Lord will talk to them. And if you read the Word of God, He's talking to you through the Word. If you go to church, if you bother to go to church, to a good one, a real man of God, somebody that God called to the ministry, not somebody just went, but somebody. But when God called them to the ministry, they can tell you things that's personal. In the love of God, by the Word of God, because they have a relationship with Him. And every believer, even those in the denominational churches, everyone has the Holy Spirit within. And the Pentecostal churches, you know, they talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's true. They receive the Holy Spirit upon them with the gift of speaking in tongues. But every believer has the Holy Spirit within. People don't know. I used to wonder, why do people say, well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit went out with the apostles, but then they still speak by the Holy Spirit. That puzzled me for years, because I listened to my Baptist brothers and Methodist brothers, and they say some awesome things. And I was interviewing my pastor, and he said when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And they believed on him. When you truly, sincerely believe on Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He comes with salvation, and He causes salvation. He causes you to understand the concepts of God's Word. That's why you repent. So we're not saved aside from the Holy Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's just like what the kings and prophets of old has. They have the Holy Spirit upon them. See, the same ones He breathed upon says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It was several days, 10 days later, I think it was when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Then the Holy Spirit fell on those that were in worship, and they received the Holy Spirit upon them. The Holy Spirit within is to teach, is to help you learn and grow. But the Holy Spirit upon you is for service. And people have gotten in all kind of arguments and caused all kind. I had to, you know, when the Lord called me to the ministry, I knew that I didn't know everything. I said, "Lord, I don't know how to do this." But when I saw that He gave me a message, I said, He called me to the ministry. I'm going to preach exactly what He gave me and learn. I'm not going to add to it, take away. And I became a student and I watched Him. That's how I got to know Him. And I studied the Word. I listen to godly people. That's how you get to know God. And He'll stop being that mysterious stranger. You know, last broadcast we talked about how people look at God as if He's some mysterious stranger. Sometimes He's a wild mysterious stranger that you don't know what bag He'll come out of. But listen to James. You know, we need to clear some things. This is 2021. And now people need to know who God is. We need to understand Him. We need to know Him. We need to understand His ways. And we need to know that God loves us. He does. He always did. I'm sorry people messed it up, muddied the waters like they did. Listen at the heart of God. Listen to what James, this is James, the brother of Jesus. Verse 1 says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." That's because you have an enemy. But let patience have, you know, that's the enemy tries you. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." Now that is possible, because God's going to help you do it. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him." God's not going to get mad at you for asking questions, and there are no dumb questions. If you sincerely want to know the Lord, if you're willing to, you've turned your back on the world system, you didn't like it, it was a bothersome to you, it was you grew to hate the world system, I mean the evil of the world now, I'm not talking about the people. You don't like the evil things you see and have to deal with all the time. The envy, the strife, the jealousy, the witchcraft, the lewdness, the fornication and adultery and homosexuality. You leave all that stuff in the past. You don't want it anymore. All right, but you want to know God. God will teach you. He wants to. He can't wait to. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You can't receive from God that way. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And the good news is you don't have to be unstable. When God speaks to you, you're going to grow. Every time you study the word, you grow. Every time you go to church and hear the word, you are growing. Whether you know it or not, you're growing. And your abilities are increasing. Your wisdom will increase. And as you're receptive, your knowledge will increase. And then your abilities will increase. Now, the word of God will not brainwash you. The word of God will give you information so that you can judge and see things for what it is. Then you can make sober choices. That's how it works. God don't make you do right. He give you information. Your love causes you to want to do right in the first place. The new birth. You have a desire to do what's right only from the new birth. And you don't want to do wrong. But what people have been doing, they start out trying to do right, and they get their cues from other people. They watch what other people are doing. And lukewarm people and backslidden people will do anything. And people start giving in to temptation here and there. And it neuters their life. You know, you take your dog to get him neutered so he can't have any more puppies. So it neuters your life. It causes you to be sterile to life and ineffective when that happens. But when you keep that drive in you to do right, to love God, to be pure in him, and you driving out the things of darkness, you're not going to be double-minded then. And God can't wait to answer you. He loves when people talk to him. When you're talking to God, that is holy communion. You gotta see things like it really is. When you pray to the Lord for understanding, and you want to know, this is holy communion. You're asking God a question, and he's going to answer you. I promise you, he's going to get an answer to you. If you don't believe me, write it down. And if you do believe me, write it in a journal. Write all the questions you ask. And when the wisdom comes, go write the answer next to it. And then give me about a few months. And then you can go back and listen to this broadcast, and you can see for yourself, God has been answering me. He will talk to you. Now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. newlivingletters.com. Today's broadcast is on there in real time, and you can listen to it at your will, and it is absolutely free. And don't forget, if you like to read, I wrote two books. One is The Cost of Freedom, and the other is The Spirit of Egypt. It's on this. I put it on the page 6. It's also on the Living Letters page, but I put it on page 6 so it'll be easy to get to. Now, God loves us. God cares about you in every way. Don't let people tell you that God won't. He's not a mysterious stranger. God works in mysterious ways. They putting him way on the moon somewhere. God loves you. He's up close and personal. And he's not going to rebuke you. James just said he will not upbraid you for asking for knowledge and wisdom. And if you don't, remember something. You're going to make millions of decisions in the course of your life. Millions. But if you have conversations with the Lord and you get to know him, it's going to take the edge off. You're going to make godly decisions. What if your decisions were godly for the next 20 years? You know what your life is going to look like? It's going to be wonderful. Now, David said something. He said, this is Psalm 18, verse 25. He said, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward." God is not mean. But if a person is breaking into your daughter's bedroom and you shot him with your shotgun, that's justice. That's just all it is to it. Well, but if a person came to your front door and knocked and asked, and he was kind, and he wanted to see if he could cut your grass and anything he could do. But, you know, you're going to respond differently than the man that tried to break in your daughter's room. See, with the pure, thou, God will show himself pure. With the froward, he'll show himself froward. And you can't forget that. Please don't, because God loves us all. A wicked man, God is going to, you know, he's going to have to judge him. But a man, his own children, now think about this as parents. What if your children treated you like society treats God? Well, your daughter say, well, I hope his mama's will to cook today. I'm hungry. I would go and ask her if she's going to cook, but she works in mysterious ways. Yeah, that's, if she told her friend that, her friend's going to think that mama's nuts. That's just the way. Think about it. The son, I'm going to need $10 to go on a field trip tomorrow. And I need to ask daddy, but he works in mysterious ways. He might get mad. He might not do it. He might do this. He might do that. You know, think about how people represent God. Then at a funeral, I've been in church all my life. Preachers preach God can do. He's all powerful. That's a good one. Everything is under his control. That sounds good on paper. But guess what? Does God make people's choices for them? If he's all powerful, he'll have to make your choices for you. People make their own choices. We were born in a war. An angel started a war with God called Lucifer, which is now Satan. And he got a following with him. And they're at war with the ways of God. So God created man, and the enemy tries to pick on man to get to God. So it's not this war. We were born into this war. And when Adam listened to that serpent, he got into war too. But Jesus came and gave us godly authority, and we can stop Satan at our will. He made provisions for us to get rid of Satan. Now, we have to get rid of him, or his ways will operate in our lives. We'll have to, but if we rebuke him and we chase him out of our life, he'll have to go. The Lord made great provisions for us. But God didn't make Lucifer turn to darkness. God didn't make Adam turn to darkness. They did this with their own free will. God had to respond to it. Now, these are factors. Jesus also said, whatever a man sow, he will also reap. So let's examine that statement. God is all powerful. He's going to, ultimately, yes, he's going to judge it. It's going to be done away with. But he can't make a choice for you. He can't make your children get saved. He never made people's children get saved. You have to live the life of God. You pray for them. You give them the word. And they'll get saved if they want to. That's how that works. But God gave us a promise. If you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he won't depart from it. I stand on that scripture. Because children that have seen the knowledge that have been given the knowledge of God, when they go make a mess of their life and they go get that butt kicked by the world, they have a comparison. They have something, a reference. I'm going back to God. I'm going to do things. One day they say, I'm going to do it God's way. And that's what I'm banking on. That's what I desire. Now, just like Lucifer, God's son, Lucifer, he was an angel, wonderful angel at that time. God made him right, beautiful, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty he was. But he turned. So sometimes children do the same thing. If an angel did it against God, a natural child would do it against his parents. Now I pray for my children all all their lives. I dedicated all of them to the Lord, and I love them. But guess what? They still got to make a choice to love and follow God, and they did, but they got to stick with it. Because Jesus told us, he said to me, he said, tell my people. My people, he's talking about Christian people. He's not even talking about people in the world. He said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left because people drift away. They don't sometimes, remember, this is not the first time he said it. He showed us a parable, 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Sometimes people start out wise and they become foolish. They listen to foolish people. They listen to foolish teaching. And they get snared into the world and trapped. And they become lukewarm and God can't do nothing with them. So it's time now for people to focus on the Lord for once. If they never have. And if they ever did, stick with their focus on the Lord. You remember, you're going to make millions of decisions in your life. Millions. Over the next 20 years, you're going to make decisions. You make thousands of decisions in a week. Millions you'll make. But if you have godly training, and not under the guise of that mysterious stranger, but I'm talking about a wholesome relationship, real godly training. And then it's going to shape the way you make decisions. Who you marry, where you live, the choices you make, the time that you act. Everything will be governed by the knowledge of God. Your relationship with God will grow. A Christian's relationship, if they're pursuing God, if they're focused on the Lord, they don't stay the same. They grow. A friend of mine was listening to the website. He said, you know, I listen to some of the older broadcasts and the new ones. You've changed. It's better. You've changed. That's how it is. All of us change. We're not the same person we was last year. That's a version of who we are. And 10 years ago, that's a version of who we are now. If you steadily was growing in the Lord. But if you stop growing, you can be worse than you was. Remember, you're going to make millions of decisions, and you want all of them, all million of them, to be godly. You want all 10 million decisions you're going to make over the next 30 years. You want them to be good decisions. And the Lord can see, Pete, you don't have to be in trouble just because other people get in trouble. Other people are doing what other people would do. A lot of them look at God as a mysterious stranger. They don't have a relationship with him. They have a covenant with him, a salvation covenant with him, but they lack a relationship. Because when it's time to pray and seek the Lord, they don't ask questions. Christians that don't ask questions, the devil's going to ask them some questions and cause them to judge God. See, if you don't know who he is, when the devil lied to you about God, you won't know how to counter it. If you have a loved one that's sick and they need you to be praying and believing God for their healing, if you think in your mind God going to take them home, you can't do that. That's doubt. You got to take God at his word only. What did he say in his word? That's what you got to go by. If you don't go by it, your loved one might die. If you get in doubt, if doubt gets in your heart, your prayer ain't no good. God will have to find somebody else to believe him and take him at his word so he can do a work in your loved one so they can live. And good Christian people, their loved ones die because they have doubt in their heart. When you're standing on the word, you either standing on the word or not. And you have to come to that point where you're standing on the word only. And you're not standing on the world. Or a lie. Or an accusation. See, people that don't know God, the devil can get them to question, to have these stupid questions in their mind. But see, if you're asking God the questions yourself, He'll reveal His word to you, and you'll be able to make sober choices. But if you're in doubt about whether God will heal or not, you're not in faith. It's one or the other. You got to be in faith or doubt. You can't have faith. If you got faith in your heart and no doubt, you'll stand on the word and see it through and not be moved by what you see. The things that go on in the world, sometimes people say, well, I was believing God, but my loved one died. Okay. Jesus said, if you believe and doubt not in your heart, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done. Even as far-fetched as it is to move a mountain and tell it to go in the sea. Now, Jesus never laid hands on a person and then they died. Rise up and walk. And they rise up and walk. Only time he had trouble getting people healed was in his own hometown. They didn't believe.